think amongst the most important political, social and economic developments in the early decades of the Latin East, one of the most significant is the Frankish establishment of control of the coast. In the aftermath of the First Crusade, the Crusaders had hurried southwards, missing out a lot of towns along the way. In the first decades of the 12th century, particularly the first decade of the 12th century, they consolidated their position, captured places like Acre, Jaffa, Beirut, Sidon, and really created a strength along the coast which is going to be crucial to the survival and the expansion of the Crusader states. The only place they hadn't captured was Ascalon, which is right at the bottom of the coastline. This control of the coast means that people can come and go from Europe very easily. It's the Italian trading cities that are the sort of the providers of this transportation. They do it for a number of reasons, in part because trade, they've been given important trading privileges in the Near East, which is going to be central to their continued interest in it. And also because the Italians, and I think this is easily forgotten, are also have their cities full of churches. They are crusaders as much as people from northern France, southern France are as well. They want to fight the Muslim and expel them from the Holy Land. So that's quite significant. Now, what this flow of trade and flow of shipping means is that pilgrims can come to the Levant. And pilgrimage was central to the whole idea of the First Crusade. The First Crusade has been described as a form of pilgrimage, and indeed it was. With Christian control of Jerusalem, it means that pilgrims can come and go far more easily. It opens out this opportunity of sort of spiritual tourism and redemption to the people of Western Europe very, very easily. And so twice a year, when the big fleets come in Easter and September, because of the sort of ability of ships to go to sea in the 12th century, you get a huge influx of Westerners visiting the Holy Land. And I suppose, like tourists today, they need places to stay, they need to eat, they need to be looked after when they get ill, as they will. They need guidebooks, and they need souvenirs. And so this is a boost to the economy of the Holy Land. But it's also, more importantly, part of the rationale of the whole crusading movement. It was to recover Jerusalem and then hold the Christian places for Christians. And if you've got pilgrims able to visit freely, then you are fulfilling the whole sort of raison d'etre of the Crusades. It means it requires the Christians to facilitate pilgrimage for the people of the West who come over. And what's going to come out of that in the first couple of decades of the 12th century is, to my mind, arguably the most important development of the age, and that's the emergence of the military orders. There was a hospital in Jerusalem before the First Crusade. It survived under Muslim rule, and then it gradually blossoms, and in 1113, Pope Pascal II gives it an important set of rights, granting it independence from the church there. So it begins to function as a sort of separate institution. Around 1119-20, the Templars emerge. There was a crisis in the Holy Land around that time, a big defeat at the Battle of the Field of Blood, also a situation where hundreds of pilgrims had been murdered as they tried to visit the River Jordan out to the east of Jerusalem. And people decided they wanted to do something about it. I mean, this is a bad thing to have happened. It's going to be bad PR if it gets back to Western Europe that people aren't looking after the pilgrims that go over there. And a group of knights who are over in the Holy Land decide they're going to sort of form together and make an association which will look after pilgrims. And the King of Jerusalem, Baldwin II, agrees that it's a good idea and grants them some property in the Temple of Solomon, the whole sort of temple complex, which we now know as the place of the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. He gives them property there, and slowly they form a group that starts looking after pilgrims. In 1129, they go to Europe, where they are granted a formal rule, a formal way of life. They're given church approval, really, and this gives them a great boost and allows them to blossom into one of the great institutions of the medieval age. They are warmly supported by the nobility of Western Europe. Very quickly, they're given grants of land, and this generates income which allows them to run a standing army. They're the only standing army of the medieval age. They live effectively in a sort of a barracks, i.e. their castle. They train, they've got all the best equipment, and they emerge as a very, very potent military force. And it comes from looking after pilgrims. Alongside that, the hospital in the 1130s also becomes militarized. I think they realize that it's an attractive and important part of their organization, but they do have the second string to their bow, and that's running a hospital, which by the mid-12th century is an enormous institution, over 1,000 beds, the best healthcare of the age, which really involves a mixture of prayer and sugar drinks, as far as I can tell. Basically making sure pilgrims are looked after. And that too is very, very popular. And so Westerners, when they come over on pilgrimage, will give a lot of donations to the Templars and the Hospitallers, which means they're very visible back in Western Europe, lots of places in England. If you go to Bristol, you arrive in Templemeads railway station. You go out of Bristol, you go to Temple Cloud on the edge of the city. These are old properties run by the Knights Templar and would have generated income to allow them to fight in the Holy Land.